Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Hachelam. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Chaf Bet Amud Bet, looking at the fourth Mishnah in the eighth parak, continuing with issues of Nachala. Echad Ben Vechad Bat Benachala. We have kind of a strange statement, which is that both sons and daughters are involved in Nachala or are equal in Nachala. The only difference is, and this is a strange way to say it, that the son will take a pishnaim, meaning a bechor, the chelik bechora, only in his father's property, but will not get a chelik bechora in his mother's property. That will be divided equally. With whom? With the other brothers. But daughters are only fed in the case that father died and they're taken care of by the estate, only from father's property and not from mother's property. So the difference here is not between sons and daughters, but rather between father and mother. Now, the Gemara wants to know what this language means. If you think it means that they inherit together, that's certainly not the case. Not only that, but the son's descendants inherit before the daughter or her descendants. Okay, so let's see what it means. So this is the first attempt. Meaning that whether there's only an only son or sons, or there's an only daughter or only daughters, they inherit ra'ui, meaning those things that father would have gotten, were coming to father, but not till after he died, just like muchsak. So, that's also a Mishnah, which is b'not slavcha, not lush tosha chalakim and achala. Daughters also got three chalakim, including that which slavcha was standing to get. Right, so we already know that girls also get peraui. V'od, my Ella, and what's the Ella in the Mishnah that says that except for, or the one limitation is, and it talks about mother's property. So that explanation didn't work in the opening phrase. Ela amra papa. Her papa said, here's what the opening phrase means. Hachi kamar. Echad ben v'echad bat nolim chelik b'chora. That they will both get a chelik b'chora. So nami tanina. That's also in the same Mishnah. V'ashah b'chora notel shnei chalakim. That benot slavchad got the chelik b'chora of slavchad who was b'chor of chefer. V'yod my Ela. And the same problem is that the Ela, meaning that the Ella, which opens up to the second half of the Mishnah, seems to be bouncing off the first half, which means the first half says that this is true except for. And both the explanation of Nachman Yitzhak and Papa seem to have nothing to do with that. Alam Ravashi Yachakamar, here's how it works. Achad ben bein habanim, achad bat bein habanot, whether there's a son among sons or daughter among daughters, im amar yaresh kol nechasai, and this refers to a Mishnah later on, through Yeshua and Yochanan Bruka, Rav Kayamin, and that is if a person decides to give all of his property away to somebody else, it will only work if the person he's giving it to is a proper Yoresh. Okay, so then Kaman Yochanan Bruka. So that means that if there's a bunch of daughters and he says one daughter's going to get it all, or a bunch of sons and one son's going to get it all, in either case it works, which works like Rav Yochanan Bruka. So Haktan and Lakaman, that's the Mishnah later. If you said it about somebody who's a real heir, it works. If not, not. Because you can't give everything away to an outside person and thus violate the entire terms of Yerusha. If you think that our Mishnah is there just to support Rabbi Yochanan Bruka as a Stam Mishnah Kevatei, then we have the following problem. Stam v'yacharkach machlokati. We have a stam followed by the machloket. In other words, our Mishnah would be operating anonymously like Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, and then later you have the machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Bruka Rabbanan, about whether you can give the entire nachala outside of the family. And v'stam v'yacharkach machloket ein lacha kestam. We're really defeating itself, because if you have machloket v'yacharkach stam, there's a machloket, and then a later Mishnah, which we can determine as part of the original sequence, part of the edited sequence, takes a position on the machloket, then that's the halacha. But if you have the opposite, we have a stam and then the machloket, that means that Rebbe wanted to tell us that the halacha is not like that, not like that position. V'od ma'ela, and we still run into the same problem that the ella doesn't work. Rashi achikamar. So Rashi gives a second explanation. It says, Achara ben v'achara bat shavin v'nichseh ha'im v'nichseh ha'av. Meaning that they have an equal portion, equal stake, whether it's only son or only daughter, in getting father's property or mother's property. Ella, the only difference is, Shaben otel pishnayim v'nichseh ha'av, and otel pishnayim v'nichseh ha'im. In other words, here's how we finally solve it. Echana ben v'echana bat in our Mishnah means that their position as sole heir, if there's only a daughter, only a son, is the same. But the only regarding both father's property and mother's property, the only difference is that regarding father's property, there will be a chelik b'chora, not regarding mother's property, and regarding father's property, there will be mezonot, not regarding mother's property. Okay, now we'll see this position. Tana Rabbanan. Latet latet lo pishnayim in the key verse of Chelek Bechora to give him pishnayim. What does that mean? Pishnayim ke'achad. That means you give him the pishnayim as one unit. Meaning that he gets twice as much as a single brother would get. Meaning, that if there's five brothers, you divide everything into six parts and this guy gets two of them. Twice as much as everybody else. Atalmer pishnayim keachad, or ena ela pishnayim b'chol anachasim. Maybe it means he gets twice as much as everybody else. Meaning in that case, where there's five brothers, then you would divide everything into half. He would get half, and the other five would divide everything in five ways. V'dinhu. And it would make sense. Watch this. Chelkoim echad v'chelkoim chamisha. After all, if he divides with one brother, or if he divides with five brothers, either way, he gets pishnayim, because, by the way, the model in the Torah is a case where there's one other brother, the ben ha-ahuvan, the ben ha-snuat. Machel koi machad, just like if he divides with one other guy, pishnayim ke'achad, he gets a double portion of what the other guy got. The other guy got 40 acres, he gets 80 acres. Avchel koi machamisha, so the same thing, if he has five brothers, pishnayim ke'achad. If each brother gets 40 acres, he gets 80 acres. But you could take the same reasoning and go in a different direction, which is you could divide with one and divide with five. Think about this. If he divides with one other brother, then there's 120 acres total. He gets 80 of them, which means he gets twice as much as the entire other property. So maybe it's the same thing. In other words, since the model in the Torah is one of the brother, we don't really know what to do in the case of other brothers. Talmud Lomar v'hayav yom anchilot banav. In that pasuk, it says, when he bequeaths to his sons, then this guy gets pishnayim. HaTorah ribtat nachalai tzalachin. Meaning the Torah recognized that all of the brothers should get a significant nachala. And lechaladun kol shana acharon el kol shana rishon. In other words, the Torah is guiding us although we give a double portion of the Bechor, give it in such a way that favors the other brothers and not disfavors. And it would certainly disfavor them to say that all the other brothers get one portion and he gets an equal portion, a double portion of what they would get. V'yomer, and then we quote, the Rebbeita quotes another pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Uvnei Reuven b'chor Yisrael ki hua b'chor v'chalo yitzvei aviv nitna b'chor tol v'nei Yosef ben Yisrael achiz l'b'chorah. That Reuven was really the Bechor, but when he violated his father's bed, the story with Bilhah, the Bechorah was given to Bnei Yosef, not to make them Bechorah, but as far as the property goes, Ve'omer, and then the next pasuk says, Ki Yudagavar Bechavul, and Agin Menuva Bechorah Yosef, that really the one who is considered the Bechorah is Yehuda, because he's the most powerful of his brothers, and he is the leader, but the Bechorah goes to Yosef. The word Bechorah is used in the context of Yosef and for generations. What did Yosef get? Yosef got twice as much as each brother, but not twice as much as everybody combined. So that tells you how we should do it in the future. At the end of Perek Memchet, Yaakov says to Yosef, I gave you an extra portion over your brothers. Now, parenthetically, he says, I took it with my sword and my arrow, and my bow. Did he really take it that way? I'm not saved by my bow or by my sword doesn't save me. That's in Perek Mem Daled, which is a very, very different context. But the use of those two words juxtaposed seems to be working also as interpretation on the pasuk in Bereishit. Ela charbizu tefila ubakashtizu bakasha. When it says it, you know, when Yaakov says, I took this with my sword and my bow, it's a reference to tefila. Now, my viomer, let's look at this brayta. Why all these pasukim? In other words, we had the pasuk in Dvarim, and then we had pasuk 1 in Divrei Hayamim, and pasuk 2 in Divrei Hayamim, and then back to Bereishit, and then to Tehillim. Let's see what all this is about. V'chi teimai nechud b'yachim bruka, bruka hu da'ata. Maybe Vayab Yom Chilot Banav is only there to support Yochum and Bruka's position, which is that you must give Nachala to somebody who is an heir. You can't give it all away. Toshma Vnei Ruvain B'chor Yisrael. Therefore, we have the Pasuk that says Vnei Ruvain B'chor Yisrael, which says Yaakov had to give it to somebody in the family. V'chitema B'chor Rami B'chor Atolo Gamrinan. But maybe you would say you can't infer from that story because the word B'chorah is different. Toshmava b'chora li Yosef. Therefore, it says the b'chora was given to Yosef. Rechiteim Yosef gufe mimai the pishtaim ke'acharave. How do we know that Yosef got a double portion of what his brothers got? Maybe he got twice as much as everybody. Toshmava ninta l'chashcha machal l'chacha. Says what did he get? He got one portion more than the others. Meaning each guy got one portion. He got two portions. Not that everybody together got 11 and he got another 11. So maybe Shechem Achad means one extra tree, one extra thing. Who says it means another portion? So Rabbi said back to Rapapa, it is in response to that that the Pasuk said, Ephraim and Asher Kuvin Rishimon Yuli. What does Yaakov say to Yosef when he brings Ephraim and Asher to him? I'm adopting them like Reuven and Shimon, meaning you're going to get two portions, one for each of your sons. Okay, that's the Breita and the quick analysis. Now, Ba'amine Rabbi Chelbom Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. He asked the following question. Ma ra Yaakov shenatal b'chorah miRuven and Eli Yosef? Why did Yaakov take the b'chorah away from Reuven and give it to Yosef? Important, take a look at the Sforno's comments in Kitetse, at the beginning, in the parsha of b'chor. Ma ra chaloytze aviv k'tiv. What did we see? Nobody saw. He saw that Reuven behaved badly with Bilhah. Ela ma ra shenatal Yosef? Why did he give it to Yosef? In other words, he should have given it to Shimon. So he said, I'll explain to you by way of a parable. There's a man who raised an orphan. He adopted him. Later on, the kid became rich. I will give to this fellow who raised me. I'll give him some of my money. So Amar Levi Lav de Chatar Uvein. So the question here is, if Yaakov wanted to give benefit to Yosef, it was only because Reuven sinned, and he's giving him Reuven's chelek? In other words, he's giving away Reuven's chelek, but what about Yosef, Yaakov's chelek himself? Ella, that's not the way we should learn. Yonatan b'chal lo kach amar. So he said, Rabbi Yonatan, who was a great darshan, said differently. He said, really, Rachel should have always had the child who was the Bechor. This is why Yosef got it. Yosef. We know Yosef was the main child of Yaakov because Rachel's the main wife. What happened is Leah davened stronger, and therefore she ended up having the real firstborn child chronologically. Because Rachel had so much sniut, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned the Bechorah to her. So my karmata le'ah barachamim, what does it mean that Leah davened first? Tichtiv einei le'ah rakot. The famous story that when we first meet the girls, we find that Leah's eyes are kind of weepy. My rakot, what does that mean? Ilei rakot mamash, if you think they're really not pretty. Efshar b'genut b'imat me'al lo d'ber katuv. In the story of Noach, let's look at the beginning of Psachim, the Torah won't even describe a behemah as being a t'me'ah. Tichtiv b'nei b'imat tohra b'nei b'imat asher einena tohra. Torah goes out of its way and adds all these letters, just not to use the, what we call nivupet. Begnut tzadikim the rakatuv. You think the Torah would describe Leah as not attractive? So what is rakot? Matnoteha arukot. She had long lashes. Rav Mar Leolam rakot mamash. The way the darshaning is, rakot means arukot. And that she would give birth to the ones of the Kohanim who would get lots of gifts, Matna Levi, Matna Kuna, Alkum of Levi from Leah. But Rav Amar Li Olam Rakon Mamash, no, really means her eyes were unattractive. V'lo Gnai Hulai, Ela Shevach Hulai, but that's really not a Gnai. Why? Shaita Shamata Parshat Rachim, she heard in the rumor mill, B'Adam Shayu Omrim. Shnei Banim Yeshla the Rivka, this famous piece, Rashi quotes it in his commentary on Chumash. Rivka has two sons, Shtei Vanot Yeshla Lavan, and Rivka's brother Lavan has two daughters. So the oldest will marry the oldest, and the younger marry the younger. So Yaakov marry Rachel, but Esav marry Leah. She would ask people, what's the older one like? And they would tell him, he's a bad guy, he's a thief. What about the younger one? He's a beautiful guy. She cried until her eyelashes fell out. So her eyes were very unattractive, but it's really because of her great sensitivity and a desire to marry a proper guy. God saw that she was not favored. My snua, what does that mean? If you think that Yaakov really hated her, would the Torah say such a thing about Leah and also about Yaakov? What does snua mean? That she hated this possibility that she would have married Esav, so she married Yaakov. And now he opened her womb so she would remain a wife of Yaakov. So we said, first of all, that Leah had rachamim, and that's why she ended up having the bechor, in fact. And Rachel got it back because of her tzniut. What was her tzniut? When Yaakov met Rachel, he told her that he was the brother of her father. But he's not the son of her father, her uncle. He is her cousin. Why does it say he is Achi Avia? Amarla Minsabadli. He said to her, will you marry me? Amarla In. Yes, I'll marry you. Mu Abba Ramahu Vachatle. Father is very tricky. You won't be able to beat him. Amarla Mai Ramute. What's he so tricky about? Amarla Itli Aita Dakshishamina. I have a sister who's older. Flaminsabadli Mikama. He won't let her marry in after me. He won't let me marry in front of her. Amarla Achivani Brahmaut. I'm his brother in trickery. I know how to deal specifically with that sort of trickery. I just did it to my father, taking the barakha away from Esav. So she said back to him, or the Gemara is commenting separately, since when is a tzaddik allowed to be deceptive? In with a tricky person, you have to act tricky, and with a crooked person, you have to act in a crooked way. You have to respond to people the way that they are. So Masala Simanim. So Yaakov gave her some Simanim, whether they were things or they were a code, so that father wouldn't be able to trick her. Kikama'ila Leah's when they came a few years later and Leah was going to marry him, Savra Hashta Mitzva Itatoi Achtoi. Rachel said, My sister is going to become, this is the famous Midrash in Echa Ptecha Veicha, that my sister is going to become very embarrassed. Masatinu Niala, so she told Leah or gave Leah the Simanim. That's why it says, the morning after the wedding, behold, she was Leah. As if the whole night she wasn't Leah. Meaning, because that's how Yaakov didn't know she was Leah the whole night, because the whole time she either showed or was repeating the simanim that he had given Rachel, and he was sure it was Rachel. Behold, in the morning, when he saw her, she was Leah. Now, so that was the tzniut that Rachel had, that she was willing to give up her husband in order to make sure that her sister wouldn't be embarrassed. Ba'amine Abba Khalifa Kiruya Mirav Chia Bar Abba. So yes, Bechalana Tamot Se Shivim. Famous story, and if you listen to this relatively live, then it's on this week's Parsha. If you count the numbers of people who came down, of the bloodline who came down to Egypt with Yaakov, the number at the end given is 70. But if you count them, you see there's 69. Because it actually says, if you count them all up, there's 66, plus Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim. Amar le to all my time, Dina. The Dina had a twin. Dichti viet Dina bito. The viet, it's like et kain et hevel, is a twin, so et Dina. Leata to my time, Binyamin. So if that's the case, Binyamin also had a toma, which would throw the numbers off. Dichtiv viet Binyamin achiv benimo. Right? Amar, and by the way, by kachmim et Shimon, you'd have the same problem. So I had a jewel, meaning an explanation here, and you want to take it away from me. Hachim Rav Chaim Rachanina. This is the answer. We saw this recently. Zu Yocheved, that the 70th missing person is Yocheved. Sharatava derech v'leratava nachomot. She was conceived on the way and born right on the way into Egypt. Shemara she'elda otal leviv mitzrayim. Yocheved, who was born in Mitzrayim, leratava mitzrayim v'leratava mitzrayim, specifically born in Egypt, but not conceived there. In other words, she's the missing 70th. Mar mir arichel mar b'shvor mar nachmani. K'tiv ayihika she'elda rachel Yosef. It says that the minute that Yosef was born, Yaakov said to Lavan, I want to go home. Maishtaket yalid Yosef. Why when Yosef was born? Why not when Reuven was born? Or why not after Yosef was born? Why at that point? L'ra Yaakov avinu she'en zaro shel Esav nimsar ela biyad zaro shel Yosef. Yaakov saw Baruch HaKodesh that Esav, who he's going to meet again, and he thought for war, would only be defeated by Yosef. Shnemar v'yabet Yaakov esh v'et Yosef lavav et Esav l'kash. Yaakov will be fire, but Yosef will be the flame, and Esav will be the straw. So therefore, the flame will defeat the straw. Etivei, by came David Yashav Yadarav Namachotam, David did a massive wipeout of a particular tribe of Amalek. After Amalek had come and taken the people from his town from Ziklag, he came back and he killed nearly all of them, and David is from Leah, and David is from Yehuda. Amarlei, de akrech nevi lo akrech tuvi. You only know Nevim, you don't know Ketuvim. Dichtiv in Devarim, it says, B'lechto al Tziklag nafu alav imenasheh, and Navi ozavad v'diyel Michael v'ozavad v'elihu v'tzalati, Rashi alafim, asher limenasheh. It says, when he went to Tziklag, all of these people from Menashe were part of his army. In other words, David had people from Menashe, who was from Yosef, who were helping him in that war against Amalek. Meitir of Yosef, Miami b'nei Shimon, achu lahar Seir, and Hashim chamesh b'yel palta'ah, Here we have a story that members of Bnei Shimon, this is the end of Perak Dalet of the first Divrei Yomim, where it says that Amalek is ultimately obliterated in the next Pasuk. So it says that they were defeated by people of Bnei Shimon. And they wiped out the remnant of Amalek. So you see they were defeated by Shimon. Rashila Yishi Bnei Menashe Ati, that Yishi, who's listed there, himself was from Bnei Menashe. Tichtiv Bnei Menashe, Chefer V'Yishi. As you can see in the Ritva that's on the page, this is not a Pasuk, but it's sort of an abridged version of several Pasukim that indicate that a fellow named Yishi was really a descendant of Menashe, which means, again, it was Bnei Yosef who ultimately defeated Amalek. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and there's Hashem in the next podcast. Pick it up here at further investigation of the halachot of a bechor and what he gets, as we continue in our study of Perek Yesh Nochalin.